Genesis chapter 34.
This is not PG rated today. It's M15 plus. And just to make it a little bit softer on our ears, I'm reading it from the ESV because it's just got a bit of a nicer reading. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the women of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, the prince of the land, saw her, he seized her and lay with her and humiliated her. And his soul was drawn to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Get me this girl for my wife." Now Jacob heard that he had defiled his daughter Dinah, but his sons were with his livestock in the field, so Jacob held his peace until they came. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him. The sons of Jacob had come in from the field as soon as they had heard of it, and the men were indignant and very angry because he had done an outrageous thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, for such a thing must not be done. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him to be his wife. Make marriages with us, give your daughters to us, and take our daughters for yourselves. You shall dwell with us, and the land shall be open to you. Dwell and trade in it, and get property in it." Shechem also said to her father and to her brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and whatever you say to me, I will give. Ask me for as great a bride price and gift as you will, and I will give whatever you say to me. Only give me the young woman to be my wife." The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and his father Hamor deceitfully, because he had defiled their sister Dinah. They said to him, "We cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, for that would be a disgrace to us. Only on this condition will we agree with you, that you will become as we are, by every male among you being circumcised. Then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to ourselves, and we will dwell with you and become one people. But if you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and we will be gone." Their words pleased Hamor and Hamor's son Shechem, and the young man did not delay to do the thing, because he delighted in Jacob's daughter. Now he was the most honored of all his father's house. So Hamor and his son Shechem came to the gate of their city and spoke to the men of their city, saying, "These men are at peace with us. Let them dwell in the land and trade in it, for behold, the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters as wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will the men agree to dwell with us and to become one people, when every male among us is circumcised as they are circumcised. Will not their livestock, their property, and all their beasts be ours? Only let us agree with them, and then they will dwell with us." And all who went out to the gate of his city listened to Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. On the third day, when they were sore, two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and came against the city while it felt secure and killed all the males. They killed Hamor and his son Shechem with the sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went away. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because they had defiled their sister. They took their flocks and their herds, their donkeys, and whatever was in the city and in the fields, all their wealth, all their little ones and their wives, all that was in their houses. They captured and plundered. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me stink to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. My numbers are few, and if they gather themselves against me and attack me, I shall be destroyed, both I and my household." But they said, "Should he treat our sister like a prostitute?"
Please leave your Bibles open there, Genesis 34. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, as we approach these very troubling verses, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would guide us, Lord, that you would reveal your truth through these words, that we would understand more about you, more about what you have done for us through your Son. We pray that you'll convict our hearts, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During World War I, a famous preacher known as Donald Gray Barnhouse led a young soldier to Jesus. This young man was from a very wealthy and respected family. And while this young man was away at war, his faith became his greatest strength. In the middle of the trenches, surrounded by death and chaos, he had a deep sense of calm and peace. He realized he wasn't just a soldier fighting for a particular army. He was a representative of the King of Kings. His faith helped him to survive the darkness of war without losing hope. But when the war ended, that's when his heart started to fear. He actually became more afraid of going home than he was of staying at war. He told Barnhouse, "I'm afraid that because I love my family and my friends so much, I will try too hard to fit in. I don't want to cause trouble, and I'm afraid I'll end up sliding back into my old sinful life just to keep the peace." But Barnhouse gave the most surprising advice. He said, "You don't have to worry about leaving your friends. If you are honest about your walk with Jesus, they will leave you." And after reflecting on what Barnhouse had suggested, he decided to take his advice. He decided he was going to tell the first 10 people that he ran into on his way back from the war that Jesus was now the center of his life. As he arrived at the train station, he ran into a girl that he knew quite well. She was excited to see him and asked if he had any good news, maybe an engagement or something like that. He smiled and said, "I have even better news than that. The greatest thing that could have ever happened to me has happened. I've become a Christian." The smile instantly froze. She looked confused, made a quick excuse, and then hurried away. Then a few moments later, another friend shouted out, "It's great to have you back. Now we can get back to all of the parties." The soldier replied, "I've actually become a follower of Jesus." Just like the girl, the friend became uncomfortable, didn't know what to say, and quickly hurried away. But despite the awkwardness, he kept on going. He told an old couple he knew, along with several other friends, and by the time he got to the 10th person, word had gotten around, spread through the neighborhood, that he'd either gone crazy or become some sort of religious fanatic. By the time he reached the 10th person, the peaceful existence that he once enjoyed, where he went along with the crowd, was gone. But his walk with the Lord was more grounded and more certain than it had ever been before. This young man understood the truth that we all at times forget. Anytime we compromise on our walk with God, to go with the flow or to keep the peace or to have a comfortable life here on earth, we damage our relationship with God. Now, today we are looking at a passage that I'm pretty sure has never been taught in Sunday school. That's because it's a shocking bunch of events. It's violent and it's deeply unsettling. But as Genesis 34 tells us the story of Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and the tragic compromises that led to the events that unfolded, it is challenging everyone who trusts in Jesus to reflect on what ways we may be looking for peace and comfort rather than standing for the hope that we have in Jesus. Because whenever we make fitting in or being comfortable our priority, we damage our walk with Jesus and our witness to those who don't yet know him. So the first point from today's passage is we compromise on our walk with the Lord whenever we make a peaceful life in this world our priority. Now, back in chapter 32 and chapter 33, Jacob thought that his biggest problem was Esau and his 400 fighting men. But it wasn't Esau that Jacob needed to worry about, because the greatest threat to God's promise was Jacob's own desire for a peaceful life. Back in chapter 31, I think it's verse 13, God commanded Jacob to leave Paddan Aram and go to Bethel. But as Jacob and his family made their way back into the promised land, they stopped one day's journey short of Bethel and instead settled in a city called Shechem. I might pause there for a second to explain that in this passage there is a city called Shechem and a person called Shechem. So I'll try not to confuse you with that. There Jacob bought land. He set up tents and built an altar to the Lord, and he named it El Elohi Israel, which means mighty is the God of Israel. Now, stopping in the same place that Abraham, his forefather, had stopped as he entered the land, and setting up an altar in the same area that Abraham had set up an altar, doesn't sound all that bad. After all, he was following in Abraham's footsteps. But this was a compromise. God hadn't told Jacob to settle in Shechem. He had told him to go all the way to Bethel. And sadly, that compromise would come with a very high price. In verse 1, we are told that Jacob's daughter Dinah, who was the daughter of Leah, went out to visit the women of the land. Now, that in itself doesn't sound like all that big a deal. But we need to remember that Jacob's family were set apart by God. They were set apart from the nations around them. The Canaanites were a people who worshipped their own man-made gods, and they performed all sorts of sexual immorality. And yet, because of Jacob's compromise, because they didn't go all the way to Bethel, Dinah naively went to go and see what was happening in the city. Now, you can work it out from the dates, but Dinah was somewhere between 13 and 15 years old when this happened. And so she was quite young, quite naive. She no doubt thought that by going into the city, she'd be treated with the same kind of respect that she would have been treated amongst her own family. Maybe even make some friends amongst the young girls there. Sadly, that wasn't the case. When Shechem, the person, the son of the leader of the city of Shechem, saw Dinah, he took her. And as Canaanites sometimes did, he forced her to sleep with him in order to secure her as his own. Verse 3 says that he was drawn to her. He loved her and he spoke tenderly to her, which all drastically contradict the brutality of the verbs and the violent situation that he had caused. But Shechem's heart was set on having her as his own, and he was willing to manipulate the situation however he needed to in order to get what he wanted. And so while Dinah was still being kept captive in his house, he went to his father and demanded that he get her for him as his wife. Surprisingly, maybe even shockingly, when Jacob heard about what Shechem had done to Dinah, his daughter, and that she was still captive in his house, he kept this news to himself and did absolutely nothing about it. There's no mention in these verses about him being upset, about him having righteous anger about this evil that had taken place. Dinah was the daughter of Leah, I mentioned earlier, and Jacob had always favoured Rachel's children over her children. but his lack of any real indignation or righteous anger over the evil that had been done to his daughter, I think is just as shocking as what Shechem had done in the first place. Sadly, it seems to have been the fear of the Canaanites causing him to act this way rather than the fear of the living God. As he tried to make peace with the people around him rather than trusting God's word. The second point from today's passage is we compromise on our witness of God's grace whenever we repay wrong for wrong. When Dinah's brothers came home from the fields, they were rightly filled with grief and anger over what had been done to their sister. And in their grief, they were no doubt ready to take up swords and kill Shechem right there and then. But somehow, we aren't told how, they managed to restrain themselves, hold it all together, while Shechem and Hamor, Shechem's father, came to speak with them. Hamor asked Jacob and her brothers to let Shechem take Dinah as his wife. He encouraged them to intermarry with them and to become one people. We all know that the descendants of Jacob had been set apart for the Lord, set apart from the nations around them, the nations that God would later command them to drive out of the promised land. If they had have agreed to this, it would have stopped God's plan in his tracks. And so when Shechem offered to pay any bridal price they asked, Dinah's brothers pretended to go along with the deal. Now, Jacob was there the whole time this conversation was going on, which is shocking in itself, because there's no mention about him stepping up and saying, no, this isn't right. As far as we know, he didn't say anything, not even when his sons agreed, although deceitfully, to intermarry with them, which makes you wonder whether Jacob was so fearful about upsetting the peaceful relationship he had with these other nations that he was willing to put God's promise in jeopardy. Doesn't seem like he had a lot of fear in the mighty God of Israel at this point. Now, Dinah's brothers pretended to agree to intermarry with these people, but only if all of the men of the city would agree to be circumcised. If not, if they refused, then they would take their sister by force. Now, circumcision was a sign that God had given to his people, a sign, a physical sign, to show that they had been set apart to be his, set apart as holy. But now the sons of Jacob were using this sign that God had given to them as a weapon of war. Hamor and Shechem were none the wiser. They believed that their brothers were talking sincerely to them, and they were excited by and pleased by this suggestion. So they wasted no time in encouraging all the men of the city to come along and be circumcised. But on the third day after the men had been circumcised, without any anesthetic, no Panadol or ibuprofen, presumably the most painful time, Simeon and Levi, who were both Leah's children and Dinah's full brothers, attacked the city and killed every single male. They put Hamor and Shechem to the sword and took their sister Dinah and then left. When Dinah's brothers, the rest of them, came by and saw the dead bodies, they looted the city, seizing all the livestock, their possessions, along with the women and the children. You see, what Shechem had done to Dinah was horrible. It was horrific. But now Jacob's sons, the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, or they would become, had not only killed all of the men of the city, but had also taken all their possessions and carried their women and children off as slaves. They were right to seek justice for their sister, but sadly their anger had caused them to seek revenge rather than justice. Jacob had remained silent when real godly leadership was required. But now, because he had made his priority to have a peaceful life amongst these people, he rebuked Simeon and Levi, not out of reverent fear to the Lord, but out of fear of what they might do to him. He was afraid of what the nations might do to him, rather than trusting in the mighty God of Israel. And the author emphasizes this point by giving Simeon and Levi the final words on this matter. In verse 31, they say, "Should he have treated our sister like a prostitute?" And that question clearly implies that they had to do something. Obviously, they went too far, but Jacob had done nothing at all. In today's passage, Jacob had failed to live up to what God had called him to do, because out of fear, he had made living at peace with the people around him his priority. He compromised on what God had called him to do and settled in Shechem near the Canaanite city rather than Bethel. And that had put the most vulnerable people in his family in danger. Jacob was afraid to deal with what he needed to do in order to save Dinah, because his fears caused him to protect his peaceful life and existence now. On the other hand, Jacob's sons had initially responded with righteous anger. They had sadly let their anger over this evil deed cause them to seek revenge. And in the end, what they did to the people of Shechem was not justice. Killing all their males, carrying their women and children off as slaves, it far exceeded what justice required. And none of them, not one of them, inquired of the Lord. This chapter is a very sad saga in the history of Israel. The only people who aren't spoken about negatively in these verses are the victims, Dinah and the innocent people of the city who had nothing to do with what Shechem did. But as sad as this account of these events is, today's passage points us forward to the good news that there is a better way, because we have a better brother. Jesus was despised and rejected. He was beaten and mocked and crucified. As the only person who never had any sin of his own, he suffered the greatest injustice that has ever or will ever take place, as he died on the cross for our sins. Jesus didn't hide from those who oppressed him. He didn't keep the good news of Jesus to himself or make living a comfortable and peaceful life his priority. He descended from heaven, God's perfect place, to experience all of the brokenness and rejection that he went through. He didn't compromise on what God had called him to do in any way, so that he could pay the penalty for all the wrongs that we have done, by taking them on himself and paying for them on the cross. He didn't seek to get revenge when he was mistreated. He didn't seek his own glory. He knew that he had the greatest news that anyone could ever hope to hear. Because of his love for us, he was willing to face the suffering he went through to save us from the judgment we deserve, so that alongside our better brother, we might inherit eternal life. As we look to the wreckage of Genesis 34, the silence of Jacob, the cruelty of his sons, and the brokenness of a family who were trying to settle where they did not belong, we see the high cost of compromising on what God has called us to do. Jacob had made living a peaceful life in this world his priority. And it cost him his daughter's safety and his family's witness as a people set apart for the Lord. Jacob settled in Shechem because it was easy and comfortable. He stayed silent when he should have spoken up. He traded his calling for a quiet life, and it ended in a massacre. But as those who trust in Jesus, we serve a Savior who did not remain silent. Jesus didn't compromise and seek peace when faced with the Pharisees or the Romans. He took the violence of our sins upon himself so that we can inherit the promise of eternal life. See, Jacob's biggest danger wasn't Esau. As frightening as he was with his 400 men, it was his desire for a peaceful life in this world that was the biggest danger. Just as it's the biggest danger for all of us. The greatest danger to our faith is our own desire to live and have a peaceful life in this world. Remaining silent when we should speak up for our hope in Jesus. Taking the easy path rather than the one that God has called us to. Or trying to keep the peace rather than doing what is right in God's eyes. Today's passage is warning us not to follow Jacob's example. By trying to find a comfortable middle ground in the land where we are meant to be strangers. But instead to be like the soldiers whose story I told at the beginning, who didn't hide his faith in Jesus from his family or friends, but who followed the example of our better brother by taking up his cross and following him. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we have all, like Jacob, sought to have a peaceful, comfortable life, to not make waves, to not be at odds with anyone, to not even have an awkward conversation, or have them maybe look at us a bit funny. Lord, convict us of those areas in our lives where we have failed to speak up. Help us not to be crushing, Lord, but convict us, Lord, so that we might take the next opportunity you give. Encourage us to be salt and light wherever we are, to not sanitize our conversations and not mention anything about you, but to speak about the hope we have boldly, plainly, regardless of the consequences. Help us to do this, Lord, so that we might seek the life that you have for us rather than one that is comfortable and settled in this world that will never bring us hope and peace. So we pray this, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.